The Insurance Coffee House is hosted by Insurance Search. Insurance Search provides executive recruitment services to insurance companies, brokers, and insurtechs in the UK and across the United States, attracting and retaining the most successful leaders to your insurance business. To find out more, visit insurance-search.com. The Insurance Coffee House, the place where you get to meet and be inspired by the most successful insurance business leaders from across the world. Hosted by Nick Hoadley, CEO of Insurance Search.
Welcome to the Insurance Coffee House podcast. Today, I am absolutely delighted to be joined by two people from Falvey Insurance. First of all, I've got Megan Bell, who's the Senior Vice President for Marketing, and I've also got Roxanne Nelson, who is the Chief People Officer. Falvey Insurance, for anyone who's not aware, Supply Chain Solutions, MGA, based up in Rhode Island. And it's a pleasure to have Megan and Roxanne join us today. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
It's great to have you both on. I know we've been looking forward to having you on the show now for some time. Really looking forward to learning more as well about Falvey Insurance and some of the great work you're doing there and some of the great opportunities you have there. Before we dive in, though, as we are in the Insurance Coffee House this morning, what's your go-to coffee of choice?
I have my Starbucks. It's a mocha latte.
And I brew a special anniversary coffee from this fun woman that I've met. She has a whole TED talk about having brave conversations over coffee. So we ordered hers and we grind it at home and make it every morning. And it's delicious and smells like s'mores.
Great combination there. Tried and trusted brand like Starbucks. And then a little bit more unusual variety, but I like the practice around conversation, which we're obviously going to have today. So that's fantastic. First of all, Roxanne, if I could start with you, would you mind giving our listeners an overview, a summary maybe of your career that you've had there at Falvey, and now the position that you have there as the Chief People Officer?
So I have been at Falvey for over 20 years. I started out as the Secretary to Underwriting Administration, which was a very fancy title for a receptionist. I moved over into our cargo underwriting section as a technical assistant. I was there in that role for a few years. I moved up to account executive, which has some limited underwriting authority. I managed the team that we had there for a few years. And then I was approached by our CEO to take over the HR position when our person had given notice that she was going to retire. And it was our CEO's sister. So very much a small family company. So he took some time to figure out what he wanted to do and, you know, approached me and I moved into this role. I was very concerned when I took over that it would be slower than what I was used to. On the insurance underwriting side, it's very busy. You never know what's going to happen. I can say it's the exact same in HR. Never 2 days that are the exact same. And we have experienced a lot of growth at Falvey since I took over in HR. And here at Falvey, we call HR people operations because we really do put our people first. Yeah. So we are handling all aspects of our people. So our employee experience here in the building, so our office administration team and our maintenance team report into me, along with all of the recruitment and retention of our employees, professional development, and the fun things that everybody doesn't necessarily like to talk about, but benefits, payroll, 401k and retirement, all of that falls under my purview here in People Options.
Fantastic. And that must have been obviously a big opportunity for you, but big shoes to fill, I can imagine, a little bit of pressure there. Did you find that being an underwriter previously working in the business has helped you in your role now there leading the people operations function?
It absolutely helped. It helped because you learn some negotiation skills on the underwriting side, but you also learn how to manage multiple projects at once. And really, that's what's going on in people operations. There are so many different projects moving all at the same time that you have to keep track of. And it also helps build your business acumen. You understand exactly what's going on in the business and what all the different departments are working on. And it helps with our recruitment and retention because of that. We can really speak to what the different roles are and what's going to be expected of them, because that's what somebody coming in or looking to join the company really wants to know.
Very valuable in those interviews, and also just being able to appreciate those underwriters. You've been in their position, you understand the challenges in the role, the opportunities in the role, and what they're going through. So I'm sure that's fantastic. Megan, switching to you now, by no means been there over 20 years like Roxanne, but you've still been there for a very good period of time, I believe 7 years. If you wouldn't mind giving us an overview of your career today, that'd be fantastic.
Sure. So I started out in a startup environment right out of college. And I tell everyone I know that that was the best experience for me at that young age, because startups don't have a lot of money. So if I asked to learn something new or take something else on, they always said yes. So I learned a lot really, really quickly. And it was like a spread of skills. So I learned everything from like pivot tables in Excel to basic HTML to some system language, because it was a software company. So it was a very interesting experience, but it was also like a crash course of everything. So I'm super grateful for that. I moved into natural products after that. So I worked in two organizations that were natural foods and then natural vitamins and supplements. So it was direct to consumer. It was very different than what I do now, but a lot of fun. I did a lot of trade show preparation. So I traveled and did lots of sampling because it was food or vitamins. And really good experience just getting to know, you know, what it's like to bring a product to market, working on new product development, which is really fun, working with like food scientists and things like that. And honestly, I worked in the same building as Falvey at one of my jobs. And when I saw they were hiring, that's why I applied, because I love this building. We're right next to the ocean. And honestly, that's how I ended up here at Falvey and in the insurance industry. And I'm so glad that that's what brought me back. I feel like that was like a little bit of cosmic universe energy, you know, and I was meant to be here at some point. I was ready for it 7 years ago, finally. So I've been here, and I was one of the first hires into the marketing team. So we didn't really have a formal marketing team. I've worked really closely and pretty much sat next to Roxanne since I started here. We only just recently moved apart because we're needing more space, which I'm sure Roxanne will talk to at some point. But yeah, so we work really closely together on the employer branding side. So what it's like to work here and why people should work here is a big part of what I do.
Such a great story. And it sounds like, Roxanne, big selling point for the business is the office space itself. Some of the views that you got there certainly attracted Megan to start. But Megan, how have you found then working in the insurance industry, especially from a marketing perspective? A lot of people don't see insurance as that, you know, sexiness, especially when it comes to marketing. But how have you found the insurance industry?
I was just talking to someone yesterday about this, because I feel like it takes too long for someone to realize that this is such an amazing place to be. Like, you don't know until you're in it. You don't know before. No one ever tells you, go work in insurance. It's amazing. It'll be, you know, the best career choice you ever make. But what I was saying yesterday is that it's so full of passion. Everyone I meet, you know, whether you are an underwriter or you're in claims, everyone I meet in or outside of Valby that's in insurance just really cares about what they do. And they really care about providing good service and coming up with new innovation. And it's just a super inspiring place to be. And it's really easy to drink the Kool-Aid, because everyone is just feeling really good and positive about what they're doing. So to me, I love it. And I feel like there's also no end to insurance. We're always going to need it. So for me, it's just an amazing thing to kind of keep it evolving. One of the things I noticed right away is that insurance was a little bit behind in terms of marketing, just because it's such a traditional space. So it's actually a great opportunity for marketers, because you can come in and kind of inject some fun and personality, you know, in a way.
One of the great things about insurance is the relationships people have, but yet insurance traditionally has been traded on those relationships, which is fantastic. But there's definitely opportunity with marketing. I see marketing and those relationships standing side by side, and helping and enhancing the offering that you can provide. But yeah, that's great. Well, it's very inspiring to hear you both talking so passionately about insurance. In terms of Falvey as a business, could you maybe give us an overview of where the business is as we speak with February 2024 time of recording? Could you give us an overview of where the business is at the moment? Obviously, we know your supply chain solutions, MGA, and I know you cover various different products within that. If you could give us an overview of where the business is at the moment, that would be fantastic.
So we rebranded last year. Before last year, we were a standalone brand. So Falvey started as Falvey Cargo Underwriting, and it was very much only that marine cargo solution for the market. And our CEO, Mike Falvey, built that from the ground up, as Roxanne mentioned, with his sister and one other employee. And now, you know, we're well on our way to 200, right, Roxanne? So I'm sure you'll talk about that. But in the meantime, he has wanted to expand into other products that are complementary to that marine solution. So not going too far outside and never being a generalist. So all of our existing products that have come to be since then are all within the marine or supply chain space. So they're complementary and can be cross-sold together. And we can help our brokers with a more complete solution. So last year, we came to the point where we had all these products, but we also had a separate website and a separate logo for each of the products. And it was one of those moments when we were about to launch another one. And I said, are we going to do this every time? Are we going to have a new logo, a new website for this upcoming product? And that's when we really had the conversation of, should we bring this all under one name? So now we are just Falvey Insurance Group, one website. We offer a suite of MGA programs, which includes marine cargo, all risk shippers interest insurance, inland marine, vessel pollution, as well as transportation and logistics. And we recently launched a wholesale brokerage division of the organization. But now if someone comes to Falvey, those are all Falvey's products. And you kind of approach us as what our new tagline is one group, many solutions.
A one-stop shop for supply chain and marine insurance.
Exactly.
And as we've built out our underwriting units, we've also built out our support staff. We are a very technology-focused company. We really feel like that is a big differentiator to us besides our people. So we have high-quality customer service that we're always looking to provide, but our technology helps us do that. So along with growing our MGAs, we've had to grow our support staff. So we have a fully operational IT department that is building our systems in-house. We have a business intelligence and innovation department that is really focused on working with our internal departments to find out what they need to be more efficient and then working with our IT team. So there's a lot of collaboration within our offices and our departments. And because we're growing, we ended last year around 160 employees, and we're projecting this year to be at the end of the year somewhere around 225. So we're definitely a growing company. And as things evolve, we never know what the next potential MGA or unit will be. And as those come up, we are building them in and adding them on. So like Megan said, kind of insurance, the sky's the limit. There's nowhere to stop.
Absolutely. And I love that combination that you've got there between people and talent, the technology, and then bring that all together as well with marketing of the business. I think that's so important. Thank you, guys. One thing that's very important to you as an organization, as you do grow, is talent development. Would you mind talking a little bit further about that and what that means to you there at Falvey?
We look at our people as our number one asset. They are really providing our product. Insurance is really a piece of paper that says we guarantee to do something if something happens. But you need the people in order to bring that promise to life. And that's what we're investing in, is our people. So when we're bringing in an entry-level person, we are looking at their development path. We're not saying if it's a claims person and you're coming in to sit in a call pool and just do data entry, that's not the end of your journey here at Falvey. We want to talk to them. We want to know what do you want to do? Are you passionate about claims? All right, let's move you up. Let's get you some training, some education, and start you on that career path. And we have a lot of different people within Falvey that have gone on that path. So I told you my story. My story is a prime example of that.
Great example.
There are so many across our company. We have someone who just transitioned into our business intelligence department who was a claims adjuster. So they came in, they started in that entry-level data entry position. They were passionate about claims. They, you know, adjusted some claims for us. And then they were like, I like this, but I really want to dive into the data. I want to find out more how I can help our team. And it was a natural transition for them to move over into that business intelligence department. We have underwriters in our cargo team that started off as the same thing, data entry on account applications that were coming in, that moved up to UTAs and are now production underwriters out on the road more than in the office, growing the business. So there's a lot of opportunities to move across departments, to grow within the department. And then there are also people who we have here who have found their passion within a certain section. So they wanted to be an underwriting technical assistant and they love that. And they're there mentoring new people that are coming up. And that's just as important. So they have the passion to be in that role. They don't necessarily want to grow and move up. And we love that too, because we need those people who have the passion that want to teach the next generation, the next section of talent that's coming in, to really help us continue to grow and build out our business.
It's great that you look at things in the long term there, giving people the opportunity to move their career as they want to. Sometimes we talk to clients of ours or guests on the show about hiring for skills rather than experience. And it sounds like that promotion or opportunities within the business, if someone's got the right skills, not necessarily the experience, that they can have opportunities and really be in control of where they take their career. And I'm sure that's really empowering for them.
Absolutely. I think people really enjoy the fact that they know they can come to us. They can go to their manager. They can come to us in people ops. They can talk to other managers across the company and really start to build out, I'm interested in this, but I don't know if it's what I want to do. Can you help me find out? There's always that option here.
I know in terms of specific areas of the business, you've got employee resource groups set up. I know some firms implemented similar things in their organizations. For those firms who haven't or are not aware of what an employee resource group is, what does that mean to you there at Falvey, and how's that been working for you?
So we are actually just starting to launch our employee resource groups. So prior to this year, we had some committees that we had designated, and they were more rigid than employee resource groups are, where we had four committees and that was the max committees we could have. We had one focused on wellness, one focused on activities and kind of employee morale boosting events. We had a volunteer and philanthropy committee, and then we had a newsletter, get the information out committee. So it was very restrictive for us. Those were the only things we could have. Oh, plus we had our D&I committee. Could I forget them? But with those committees, it was kind of, that was the structure. And we couldn't really have multiple people on multiple committees. It was much more formalized. And as we're moving to our ERGs, these are going to be committees that are set up to really look internally and give our employees with like groups a chance to get together and have discussions about what's going on in their careers. What are their opportunities? What can we do to recruit more people and bring them in? It doesn't limit, and it's not as formal to only having those set committees. It kind of opens us up to really have more groups that are ultimately helping us drive the business and be more ingrained with our employees.
I was speaking to a firm earlier on this week, actually, who was saying that they've set up sort of similar working groups within their organization, and they use it as a way of then attracting talent into the business, more diverse talent. So typically, if you're looking at referrals as a way of bringing in talent, normally that doesn't really help with diversity. But if you've got, you know, whether it's a working parents group or you've got a DEI group, whatever the group might be, and then you're saying, right, let's now try and think outside of the firm opportunities or ways we can promote employment opportunities here, that can really actually help bring in more diverse candidates when it comes to hiring as well. Is that something that you've considered as part of this yet, or is it really about building internally first?
I think it'll be both. I think they'll go hand in hand. Yeah. I think as our ERGs really solidify, they'll have a hand in helping us to recruit. I think our DE&I committee has already done that. We do a lot on our employee branding side with Megan on the website that talks a lot about our DE&I initiatives and how we feel about our employees. And I think that's helped. And I think the ERGs are going to be the next step in evolution of what that committee started.
Those are really fun stories for my team to tell. So Roxanne's working to, you know, develop all of that connection internally, but then it's really fun for our team to see something like, one of my favorite things is the amount of siblings and relatives that work here. I don't know if you know, Roxanne, how many it is, but our feeling is you wouldn't bring a family member or someone you care about into an environment if you didn't think it was, you know, somewhere safe. So to me, that's a wonderful story to tell, that it's like this many people brought their brother, sister, in-law, whatever, into the business. I feel like that's really unique. And it's especially for us as we grow, as we're getting really big, to be able to speak to that. That's one of the things I enjoy most about being able to market what it's like to work here.
And how does the relationship between marketing and the people, culture, and some of those initiatives, there's surely a key relationship that you have there. And do they give you lots of content you can use then to amplify that message?
Definitely. As Roxanne was saying earlier, the professional development, we have so many opportunities. One of them is every year we send some underwriter, whether they're, you know, just starting out or are more on the beginner level, they go to the Lloyd's Academy in London. So we always send someone, and our CEO and Roxanne decide who that will be. And they usually try to kind of make sure that they're representing a different team each time so that everyone kind of gets the chance to do that. But what we do is we work with that candidate to ask them to take photos while they're there. And then when they get back, we do an interview. And so for us, that's like gold. It's not promotional content. It's something people want to read. And it's great to tell people that this is something we're investing in. So I think it's a great, like, indirect way to market how great it is to work here and the opportunities you could potentially get.
That's great to see that genuine authenticity, I think. And that's so important with marketing in general, but especially around employer branding.
When we redid our website too, that was a big focus for me on our careers page specifically. Mm. If you go to that page, there isn't a stock photo. On my team, we're super fortunate to have a graphic designer who also does photography. And so he takes candids all year long. And we have a huge library. And so that was one thing I was adamant about, is like, we will not have a posed person who doesn't work here on this page. This is a true reflection of what it's like to work here. So again, that authenticity factor, like, I want to practice it and preach it. So that's what we do there.
So important. It's amazing how many companies you see, they put all their marketing effort just into the brokers, or it's their customers, policy holders, whoever it might be. But actually, you know, as Roxanne said at the beginning, you know, it is a people business and people are your number one asset. And actually, if you can market to a production underwriter who is going to bring you in lots of clients or lots of multiple relationships with those brokers, and then actually it's so worthwhile, and the ROI can be even bigger than it can be if you're marketing just towards those customers. Guys, it brings us nicely on to the espresso round. The questions are short, sharp, and to the point. You've Both got your coffees there, Starbucks, and your coffee that you brought in from home there. Megan, are you ready for the espresso round?
Yes,
you're ready.
The espresso round.
What one recommendation would you have for a senior executive or a leader coming in to interview there at Falvey Insurance?
Embrace our culture. That's the biggest thing. Our culture is so important to us and the employees that it's not just about the number of accounts that you're writing or the production level you have. It's about being part of our team and our culture. And that's my biggest difference for somebody coming in. If you're an executive and you've been in a very strict corporate type of structure, you're not necessarily going to find that here. We're entrepreneurial. We're more turn on a dime and let's make it happen. So you have to embrace that about our culture when you come here.
And looking more broadly to our peers in the HR leadership, turning towards their HR leadership, Roxanne, what would be your one piece of advice for other HR executives as best practice for hiring talent?
My biggest recommendation for people is to not pigeonhole somebody for the job that they've applied for. So if you recognize a talent in someone and it's not in the role they've applied for, pivot that person. See if there's a different role for them. And if you don't have a role for that person, but they are a phenomenal talent, find a job for them. Hire them, because the last thing you want to do is find out 2 months later that they've gone to your number one competitor and you've lost this massive talent.
That goes back to what we were saying there about recruiting on the skills rather than just pigeonhole someone based on their experience. That's so important. What is the most important thing to you when you use an external recruitment partner, an agency or a search firm? What's the key importance there?
There's two things that are key for us. One is they need to learn and understand our culture because it is so different, as we talked about already. And the second one is the speed to bring us clients or people. We are moving so quickly as a company that we never want to slow our momentum down. And, you know, urgency is one of the big tag words for this year at our company. So we really, that speed is so important.
Understand the business, understand the culture, and then move with great speed. And I think that should be music to the ears of a lot of people within recruitment, because, you know, the best practices normally want to move with that speed. And sometimes it gets slowed down by the client. So I think that's great that you move fast there. Final question of the espresso round. Megan, I'll give this one to you if I may. What would you say is the one lesson your job has taught you that you think everybody should learn at some point in their life?
I think the step and to not be afraid to ask questions, ask to be part of conversations that don't necessarily relate to you. I've learned the most from just being in the room, especially being new to insurance. So just hearing how the language is used is a major part of working in the industry. But that's how you learn, how you grow. And I think it applies, you know, no matter what level you're at. Right? Like, I'm still learning every day here just from talking to people that have much different knowledge than I do. So I'm able to do my job better just from the people that are around me. So I think that's just kind of untapped opportunity a lot of the time.
Thank you. And I think you're both great advocates and examples of that. Obviously, your careers there at Falvey, where you moved into different parts of the business and you're constantly learning and adapting and improving, which I think is something that we can all do more of. So that's fantastic. Guys, we've reached the end of our time today in the insurance copy house on very quickly. Before we go, do you have one piece of closing advice each? And if there are listeners who are interested in roles, interested in opportunities there at Falvey, what would be the best way for them to reach out to you?
My one piece of advice is to not say no. You never know what somebody else sees in you that you don't necessarily see in yourself. So if somebody is asking you to take on a project or to lead something, say yes and just do it. No matter how scary or overwhelming it may sound, you never know what you're going to get out of it at the end. As far as reaching out to us, if somebody's interested, we have our careers page. So if you go to falveinsurancegroup.com, you'll find our careers tab and everything we have is posted there. I'm also on LinkedIn. If you search for Roxanne Nelson, I'm sure you will find me. I'm also listed on our website with a link to reach out that way.
Thank you for that, Roxanne. And Megan?
My one piece of advice would be very similar to what I said about asking to be in the room, but really opening yourself up to opportunities of the industry, not just within your kind of 9 to 5. I've found so much connection and passion from being part of associations that are within the industry. So whether it's a women in insurance group, or I'm actually a member of an organization that's just marketers for insurance. So we all do the same kind of job. Building that community is so, so important, and having people that you can reach out to and lean on. It's also just really reinvigorating to, you know, speak to someone that doesn't work here and kind of rejuvenate yourself, ask some questions, get some ideas. So for me, that's my advice, you know, every single day of the week. I'm also on LinkedIn, so please reach out. And I can be reached at mbell@valveins.com.
Thank you, guys. And yeah, just to remind our listeners, to Roxanne and what Megan have been saying, so if you are listening and maybe your particular skills or opportunity isn't on the website, but you're interested in opportunities at the business anyway, please reach out to both Roxanne and Megan, because as they said, there could be some opportunities there which could be created. So encourage all our listeners to do that. Roxanne, Megan, thank you so much for your time today. It's been great to have you in the Insurance Coffee House. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks so much for having us.
Absolute pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Insurance Coffee House with Nick Hoadley. Join us next time for another episode packed with insights and advice for senior leaders, C-suite executives, and ambitious insurance professionals. Stream all episodes at insurance-search.com.